I was reflecting on that this morning as I was praying. As usual, for some reason over the past several months or so, when I think about the love of God, the grace of God, and what God has done for me, I can identify with that song. It's beyond words now. I can hardly speak. I can hardly think. And my family has witnessed it. Others have witnessed it. The tears begin to flow. And so this morning, to begin, we're going to keep the focus on our good, good Father, yea, our great, great Father, God, and His Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God and because as I was praying this morning, I was thanking God for making me because of His grace, because of His mercy, because of His love, for making me a good father to my children and telling them the truth, loving them the right way. And that is, when you're obedient, when they are obedient, they get rewarded and a pat on the back and encouraged to keep on doing what they're doing. And when they are disobedient, they get a pat on the behind. In other words, they get chastised. And that's important to me because my dad was a very loving man. But he was a very loving man without knowledge. My dad did not chastise me as he should have. He did not chastise me at all, really. And that is love without knowledge. And a whole lot of things in my life could have been avoided if my dad had loved me all the way with knowledge. And love is not just this ushy feeling thing and always trying to make your children happy. That is not what it's all about. It's not about you trying to become your children's buddy or your children's friend. They have their friends and their buddies. They need for you to be a parent. And if you're not a parent, if you're not a father with the right balance of encouragement and of rebuke and chastisement, they will despise you when they get older, because they're going to say, believe it or not, my parents or my father let me down. There's some things he should have gotten on me about. And so I learned that negatively from my loving father. I love him. I respect him. I appreciate him. But every time we did wrong, even as we got older, he would try to take the blame for it. He felt guilty for some reason. I think he knew, but he just didn't have the knowledge base to understand that he had to put his foot down. And not only with the children, but so that there can be order and peace and a place of productivity, a place where children can thrive, he had to put his foot down. He should have put his foot down with his wife as well. And what's wrong with America today? Ladies and gentlemen, I know you don't want to hear it. That's why I do not want to preach in your church, because you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear the truth. What's wrong with America today is husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, not the children, they are becoming a problem. This millennial generation is something else. Just look in their eyes, and in many cases you'll see nothing. They can lie, as one man brought out today, this beautiful, smart young lady. And I just noticed her eyes. I didn't even take her seriously. I didn't pay attention too much of what she was doing. But the news reporter brought out that her eyes were mesmerizing. And somebody said that they knew from the jump that she was a fraud, using a fake, quite frankly, demonic voice. This is the woman who has been accused of wire fraud for raising billions of dollars for some fake stuff that she created regarding blood testing. And be that as it may, but some of you parents need to look in your children's eyes, but that's another thing. But you're the problem, parents. I know you don't want to hear it. I know many fathers are feeling guilty today. Many mothers are feeling guilty today because you have been the problem. You know you have failed, but yet you don't want to admit it. My wife, using her own words, being slapped in her face by the fact that her oldest daughters had graduated from college a couple of times already, and they had their careers. The careers were starting, and they were moving on to where they needed to go to work. And quite honestly, they were moving on out. They, of course, hugged me and said, "I love you, Papa," and so forth. And if she had not, for some reason, she's never done this before. She's a proud Jamaican woman, stubborn to the point of being stubborn and rebellious. She's never apologized about anything before on her own without being asked to. But on that evening before Thanksgiving, she was helping me get ready to preach, and she said, "Daddy, if you don't mind me, I say a word to the family." She said the fact that I had told her for years that her job was to make memories and be a good wife and mother in front of these children, and she refused to do so. She was no doubt pushed by God and led by God to apologize. She said it hit her like a ton of bricks. And now her daughter leaving. And there are many of you parents out there right now. You don't know where your son is. You don't know where your daughter is. You don't know what they're doing, who they're shacking up with. They don't go to church. They don't pray. They don't read the Bible like you taught them. Probably because you were too busy for them while they were coming up, trying to be somebody, trying to earn a living, working two and three jobs, really to get away from the chaos that you have created in your house. You don't want to be around it. You didn't want to deal with it. And so you grew up and they grew up not knowing you and you not knowing them. So 18 rolls around, that's a difficult age to try to get to know your children. You better start getting to know them, and I'm trying to help you younger parents. Your job, mommy, is to make memories. Yes, sir, your job is to provide for the family. But it is your job to be involved in the parenting. We have too many fathers who say they're the head of the household, but they're not the head of raising those children. And so with the wife, you have no clout, you have nothing to say, because you have laid all of that on her, which she cannot handle by herself. And you have relinquished your responsibility. And so your children grow up not respecting you and not listening to anything you have to say. And so many people don't realize this, but days like Mother's Day and Father's Day and even Christmas and Thanksgiving are bitter days for many people, simply because either through ignorance or willfully. In my wife's case, it was willful, not ignorance, because before we got married, I told her that we're going to do the marriage and the family God's way or no way, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And I said, if you're willing to go with that, then let's get married. If you're not, then all bets are off. And there's no telling what might happen. Because disobedience, be it from the husband or the wife and the children, disobedience has consequences, my dear friends, across the board. It's nothing God has to get up off of his throne to do. It's already built in the universe. You reap what you sow. And so if you don't love your wife, if you don't respect your husband, if both of you do not love and care for your children the right way, in a balanced fashion, not letting them have their way and at the same time loving them and encouraging them to keep on doing well. And if you don't do that, trouble is coming. Trouble is coming. And God is not going to hear your prayers because you have been disobedient. Don't try to put it on God now. You didn't do what God told you to do regarding your children. See, like the beautiful lady, I believe she's a Christian, I forget her name. She comes on Saturday morning and Sunday morning, Christy, I think her name is. She's a Christian. And she said some things this morning that probably shocked the world. She said, being a father is not for wussies. What? I said, girl, be careful now. CNN might get you. She said, being a father is not for wussies now. It's not, no. I said, parenting is not for wussies. I said, all right, it then, Christy. She said, this is not anything. This is serious business. It takes a man to be a father, dear friend, because you got to deal with some mess every day. You got to step on in there and deal with it. You can't just abdicate your throne in the parenting area and let your wife do everything. Try to put it all on her. You got to be there every day. And I know we got some folks today, bless their hearts, husband got the these women have beat these husbands down so badly, making them feel guilty that they got to go out and work out on the forklift all day and then come home and change a number of diapers and hold the baby and for hours on end and wash dishes and fix the food and all this kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that because I've never done any of that. My wife was here to do that. She was a full-time mother. She never had to work. I said, you're going to do your job right here in this household. My children do not know what it's like to have a mother working outside the home. Let me be very clear. A woman's work is never done. A wife's work, a mother's work is never done, my beloved. If you're going to do it right. And she was unwilling to do it right, but I helped her along. But I've never changed a diaper in my life. I've never washed any dishes. So as to protect myself, I'll throw something on the grill and make sure my food is right. I don't let people cook for me if they don't have the right attitude and the right spirit. Because my food is important to me, very important. But dear friends, if you don't do what God tells you to do in raising your children, and it's a tough job, it's not a pretty job, it's not always hunkadory, and you're trying to make it so, does not mean it's so. You got to deal with attitudes. You got to deal with generational curses. Things will pop up and crop up in your children that you have never seen before. But then again, you have seen it because it was in you. Or it was in your wife or your husband or whatever the case might be. And in their mother, their father, their grandparents. And you have to deal with the ugliness of that and help those children lovingly understand you can't be that way. Amen, somebody. Can't be that way. That's not going to work for you. As somebody said many years ago, your attitude determines your altitude in life. You raise up a child who always looking for racism, they're not going to make it. You got to overlook some stuff, folks. You can't go around worrying about who's a racist to you and thinking you're going to win in this life. That's not how America works. You got to get out there and get it, man. And you got to have a good attitude and spirit for people to want to be around you and use you and hire you. If you can't get a job right now, it's because your attitude stinks. And they know it. They can look at you and tell. Here you are coming in for an interview in America with a dashiki on and an uncombed afro, not shaven, haven't bathed in 2 or 3 days. Are you kidding me? You're not going to get a job like that. And have a problem smiling. They don't want you working in their store and you can't smile. You can't greet people. You're mumbling. Because your parents have not taught you well, have not trained you, and have not helped you to understand, you can't take this trash out into the world and think people are going to hire you and use you and want to be around you. I've told you before, one of my psychology teachers at Texas Wesleyan University said, your job as parents, Daniqua, your job as parents, move that. Put that on. Over here. Your job as parents is to make your children lovable. And if many fathers and many mothers were honest, you'll save that boy who wants to marry your daughter from a lifetime of hell because you know your daughter's not right. Because you didn't raise her right. Well, she's got too much of her mother's ways in her. Too much of her father's ways in her. If many fathers were honest, if mothers were honest, they would tell the young lady the truth. Our son is not ready for marriage. We're going to tell you, if you want to get married, that's between you all. You go right ahead. But I'm going to tell your parents, I'm telling you, he's irresponsible. He's a liar. He's a thief. He doesn't want to work. He has a negative attitude towards work. Okay, so you're going to just marry a baby that you're going to have to pump up after a few weeks. Now, he'll show out for 3 or 4 weeks, but... he's not ready. Don't put yourself through that. Because you're going to have to buy the car, you're going to have to buy the house, and you're going to have to pay the bills. and he's going to be, in his words, at the crib playing video games while you're at work. Why? Because he was not raised right, and what he was raised to do was not enforced. What's wrong with some of our young people today? They leave too early and mess up their lives with sin and foolishness, thinking they know everything, when they ought to stay with you a little bit longer until they mature. For the problem in America in general is a lack of maturity. A lack of maturity. That's why we have books coming out today. My daughter Danny and I, we are thinking about writing one ourselves. Books titled Adulting 101. Are you kidding me? Adulting 101. Basically teaching young people how to be adults by teaching them such things as how to balance a checkbook, how to pay your bills, how to buy certain items and so forth and so on, how to take responsibility. This thing has become a pop culture phenomenon, this adulting thing. You walk into a Walmart now and you'll see a sign hanging on the wall for you to buy that says, I don't feel like being an adult today, or I don't feel like adulting today. And you got people today who will check out and chuck several days down the hill because they don't feel like adulting. They just want to do what they want to do. Why? Because of bad parenting, letting children have their way and do what they want to do, trying to be their buddy and trying to be their friend. And so on this day, ladies and gentlemen, this Father's Day, 2018, we thank God for being the greatest Father of all. And we really mean that. And we thank God for giving us good fathers. We thank God for the good fathers who did not run away, who stuck and stayed when they were tempted to leave many times, but they stayed. That's one of the things I appreciate about my dad. My dad could have left many times, should have left many times, because it was a bad marriage. But he didn't. Even when my mother tried to leave him, in my opinion now, he should not have followed her, but he followed her where she was, because he loved his children and he wanted that. He didn't want to leave this earth with a broken home. And so that's a legacy he did leave behind. And that's good. And so we thank God for those men that God has given the grace to be good fathers. Not good, good fathers like God now. No. There's not a father on earth that's perfect. We're not perfect. There's only one good, good father. One great father. His name is God. And so, beloved, as I have said before to you, I believe that contrary to what the world says, fathers have more insight, more discernment, and more intuition, if you will, regarding their children than their mothers will ever have. That's what I truly believe. And if that's not the case, and the mother seems to have it all, it's because the father has chosen to check out and not pay attention to his children. We need to get away from this idea that mommy knows everything about the children way better than the father. That is not the case. The Bible has much to say, ladies and gentlemen, about fathers and fatherhood. God said of Abraham in Genesis 18:19, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Amen, somebody. Yes, there's this thing in parenting, my beloved, that it needs to be the way you say it's going to be. And this is where many parents fall down. They try to do the Cosby Show thing or the Brady Bunch Show thing and say, well, let's have a family meeting and vote on it. There's no voting in the White House, that is my house. There's no voting. We don't vote on nothing. I will issue an edict, a command, an order, and that's how it's going to be. And if anybody gets huffy and puffy about it, I will deal with that. We need more fathers like that, the old-fashioned parenting that our great-grandmothers gave us. And some of our great-grandfathers and our grandfathers and our grandmothers from the old school. Yes, it is true. There was a time when black young folk would not be doing what they're doing today. They acted like they had sense because great-grandmama and them, they may not have gone to college. They barely got out of the eighth grade, but they knew how to get a switch and whip your behind and command and dare you to say anything back and dare you to mumble something under your breath and dare you even to cry. They will whip your behind and say, don't cry, don't you cry, don't you make a sound, because if you do, I'll whip your behind again. That's a fact. They'll make you go get 3 switches and braid it. They're braided now. They're braided for you. And if you go bring back some twigs, they're not playing. They will get up off the porch with their apron on, and they'll go get their switches, and they'll get some branches. And I guarantee you, whatever you did, you won't be doing that for a while. I assure you. That's what's wrong with most of our young people today. They've never gotten their butts whipped, and that's what they need. Excuse me, and I know I'm right about it. I don't need any amens. I know I'm right. Some of you got little children, little toddlers raising hell. Just the other day, listen to me very carefully, just yesterday, I believe, parents sitting down in this nice little half museum or something. There was a beautiful, expensive statue, a head and shoulder deal. And this little, curious child, while the parents sitting there talking, shooting the breeze, like that's the case oftentimes. That little child just walked on over there and pulled that statue down, did some damage to it. And that family has a bill now of $132,000 that they got to pay because of not controlling their child. Isn't it interesting how many parents today, many fathers and mothers, are totally oblivious as to what their children are doing? Do you hear me? Just the other day, a child was going from car to car, wicked as hell, throwing snakes into people's cars to see what their reaction is going to be, and then he grabbed his phone and start filming it. Now, you know, nobody but the devil told that boy to do it. Little boy, and he was just as earnest about doing it as he could be, doing it with a straight face, like it was a business or something. And so one of the grown men saw him doing it and giving to do it to his wife or somebody in his family. He jumped out of his car and ran after him, after that little boy. That boy, you should have seen the look on that boy's face. He was scared to death. And that man threw him down to the ground and said, "Stop that mess, boy." And now the other parents, who are totally oblivious to what the child was doing, now they want to get back at that father for throwing their little precious little innocent child to the ground. He's a child of Belial. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No. See, back in the day, he would got his behind whipped by that man and then grabbed by the ear or the nape of the neck and taken, because everybody knew each other back in those days, taken to his parents. And said, "This is what this boy do. He's over there throwing snakes into people's cars and then taking pictures and videos." "What, boy? Get your behind in here." And he gets a real whipping from his parents. We don't have that going on today. And we got parents totally oblivious to what their children are doing because they know they have not raised their children at home. And there's no telling what their child might do. You've seen it. How many of you grown folk, you've seen children running wild in a store, getting ready to run out in the street, you feel like grabbing them yourself. But you don't want to be sued. How many of you grown folk, you just stand back with your hands on your hip and looking like I'm trying to get your attention, man. Look at your child over here acting like a monkey, climbing over everybody else's stuff. Look here, woman, look at me, look at me, look at your child. Everybody in the store want to grab them. She shake them real good, in a good way. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." God has really been good to me. I have many children. God has blessed me with many children. What a great reward. And when you raise them right and train them right, they can be and will be a blessing to you. My two oldest daughters, and they're fixing food for me today, fixing a special meal for me today, using their own money throughout the year and time that they have been gone, working and going to college and traveling all over the world. They send our ministry money for the work of the ministry, and they do this on their own. And they tithe and give to their other church and other ministries as well, where they are. And they're serving the Lord. And your children can be a blessing, a reward to you if you raise them right. Meaning, if you do what God tells you to do, which you do not want to do. You don't want to go through the process, the ugly, painful process of rebuking your child and then having to deal with the aftermath of the bad attitude and the pokey mouth, and you got a spank there behind. That's not a pretty situation. That's not a fun thing. But it has to be done, mommy and daddy, or these little beautiful children that God bless you with will be your greatest heartache and pain in the neck as time goes on, and they will embarrass the daylights out of you when you take them over to so-called demonic play dates, when you let your precious children stay over the night, overnight with people that you don't know, just so that you can go and get your groove on. Taking a break from your children, which is not biblical. Yeah, I don't care if you like it or not. It's not. Anywhere you go, your children ought to be able to go with you. You know how to set up the hotel room to for you to do what you got to do. They will embarrass you. When you go pick your child up, your son. What are y'all doing in your house? Y'all rock'em sock'em family? You all boxers? Y'all practice boxing or jujitsu or something like this? Because your son, I know he's only 4 years old, but he did a move on my daughter and gave her a black eye and a fractured arm. He karate chopped her. Are you teaching your children how to fight like this? We both go to the same church and everything, and I don't want to tell, I don't know if I should tell the pastor or call the police or what. And what are you going to say when you go pick your child? I'm so sorry. Little, you know that proverbial name we always, little Johnny never does that at home, you liar. Little Johnny hits you. You got bruises on your leg from little Johnny giving you a karate chop. Are you kidding me? That's right. We have little children beating up their parents. This is on videotape. If any of my children ever even had the thought of doing something like that, that would be their last time. I assure you. Because I'm from the old school. We don't even think stupid like that. I never thought about hitting my mother. My mother would kill me. Shirley White, my mother would kill me. Excuse me. Oh, yes, she would. And my dad didn't play that. Now, he'll let me say something to him and all that and let me get away with it. But if I cross mommy, oh, no. It was going to be a problem. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Now I know that verse is true. You will not be able to find a happier man than I am. I assure you of that. It's no way possible for you to be happier than me. No way possible. I'll never believe that. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. We're talking about fathers, the good, good father, and then the good fathers. We thank God for the good, good father, the great father, our God. What a father he is. He's been very good to all of us, and you know it. Even in his chastisement and in his rebuke of us, we love it. Those of us who are saved, we love it. We thank God for it, don't we? Even the painful things that he allows in our lives. We look back on it. It's not fun while we're going through it. But after a while, by and by, we look back on it and we say, whew, man, God was good to me. That chastisement, that rebuke, that thing I wanted and he didn't want me to have it, man, I'm so glad I didn't get that. Look at this situation right now. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from myself. Amen, somebody. Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him or her." And that is so true. If you raise your children right, they will write back to you when they graduate with their fourth degree on their way to their PhD and say, "Papa, thank you so much. I'm here because of you," like my daughter did this year, Danny. There's nothing like it. Whatever they're going to prepare me today, some fancy steak or whatever, for Father's Day, it does not compare to that. Whatever fancy restaurant we're going to go to shortly, in a few days, we plan on going. It does not compare to those words. "I love you, Papa. Thank you for everything you did for me to get to this point in my life." That right there is priceless. You can't put an amount of money on that. Amen, somebody. My daughters on their own, doing it big, going to the mission field, traveling all over the world for business, graduating with multiple degrees all at the same time and taking care of themselves, and then at the same time supporting us as we serve God here. On Mother's Day, as I told you, their mother did not do the job she should have done for all of those years by her own admission. And so they called me, they texted me and said, "Happy Mother's Day, Papa," as they've done for many years. Because they saw me themselves as the father and mother. That's not anything I would want, that I want, or ever wanted. And that's not anything any father wants. You want your children to honor and respect their mother as well. And I have taught them that and told them that, but they wish me happy Mother's Day and happy Father's Day. That's just the truth, and you'll be surprised at how many households are that way. In most cases, I do believe it's the father who lets the family down, but every now and then, it's the mother, and we have to be honest about that. One of the problems in evangelicalism and in our Bible, quote-unquote, Bible-believing churches is the lies that are being told regarding marriage and regarding the wife's role and the husband's role. This lie that the wife must always be right, that is not the case. It's not true. There are many, many fathers who love God, love their wives, and love their children, and they want their family to line up with the Bible. And they cannot and will not compromise, no matter what a slick pastor might say, just to try to appease that wife. And we have too many husbands, too many pastors, always trying to appease that wife. Because they believe the stupid philosophy that if mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. My dad and their generation didn't call it that, but that's what it was. And that's an unbiblical philosophy. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." In most cases, I do believe. Now, the society wants the children to always go with the mother. And oftentimes, those children are destroyed or molested or messed over in this day and time. And there was a time back yonder, there were strong mothers who were the father and the mother for real, and they didn't play. I know some of them. And we thank God for those women who stood up strong, and they didn't complain, they didn't whine. They did what they had to do. Worked 2 and 3 jobs, prepared all of the meals for their children before they left for work. They flat did it because they loved their children. We don't have mothers like that today in most cases. But the truth of the matter is, I believe with all of my heart, if everything was equal, most children would rather go with their father. But that's not how the world looks at it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. I know you don't like what I'm saying, but it's the truth. My children are saved and serving God. Where's yours at? So don't knock it until you try it. And what you say, preacher, what are you talking about trying? What the Bible says do. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 through 31 says, "Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he will or shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doeth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place." And this passage reminds me of something I have been reminded to tell you to do, and that is to remember what God has done in the past. God is all about remembrance. And may I lovingly say to you that God can work a miracle for you every day, and oftentimes he does. But God does not want you to forget those miracles to the point where you don't say thankful. Thank you. Because we have too many people today who don't remember what God has already done for them, and therefore they're not properly thanking God as they should. Amen, somebody. Remember what God has done for you already. Remember that God is able. And so walk accordingly. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. You say, preacher, what are you doing? Normally you preach differently. Yes, I do. This is something that I was led of the Lord to do today. I have another message to preach. And I'm just talking to you regarding fathers. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." See, if you're this kind of parent who is eager to whip your child, you're the kind of parent who should not whip your child. If it's something that you hate to do and you really don't want to even do, then you're the right kind of parent. Because it is a very painful and difficult thing to have to whip the child you love. Especially girls. And boys too, but especially girls. It's very, very difficult, very painful to do that all the way around. But if you're going to do it God's way, because God, he doesn't want to chastise us. In fact, God gives us much space to repent, doesn't he? He'll give you months. He'll give you years to get yourself together. But if you don't respond to his grace and his love and his mercy, and to the space that he's given you to straighten yourself out and judge yourself, he will judge you and he will deal with you. And it's not going to be pretty, and it's not going to be quick. That's the problem with God's chastisement. It's not going to be quick. It's going to be a while, because He gave you wow. Amen, somebody. And if you're a good parent, you give your children a wow. You give them space to repent. You warn them and you tell them, now, go ahead on and change this yourself. Fix this yourself. Go ahead and take care of it. Repent of it yourself. Now, if you don't, I'm going to have to deal with you. And if they don't, you're going to have to keep your word. Otherwise, your chastisement, your rebuke, and your warnings will not be effective. Psalm 103:13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you have pity, compassion, love, and grace for your children? By the way, dear friend, that's a God thing. You can't fake it. It's not anything you work up. You can't read a book and get it. It's just in you. God gives you that. He puts that in your heart for your children. It's a God thing. And if you don't have that, there's something wrong, and you need to get away from your children before you destroy them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11 says, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Like the little boy threw a serpent in the car instead of something good. Would you give your child a serpent instead of some food to eat? If you love your child, you would not do that. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts, good things to them that ask him? And of course, that is so true. God is a good, good Father. He is the good, good Father. He is the great, great Father. And he will hear and answer your prayers. And he will bless you with what you need and the good things you desire. Writing to his children in the faith, the Apostle John wrote in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now he was talking about his spiritual children, but same idea. The greatest thing you can hear about your grown children is that they are walking in faith, serving God, trusting in God, loving God back, fearing God, respecting God, reverencing God, being obedient to God and being faithful to God. There's nothing on earth better than that. To see your children, be they your offspring, your physical offspring, spiritual offspring, growing in the faith and striving to do God's will. Psalm 68:5 says, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And we've all seen God take up children who have been abandoned by their parents and make them into something great. And then those no good parents want to come out of the woodwork and claim, that's my child. No, it's God's child now. You didn't do your job. And so God took them on up a little higher. And by the way, there are many, many young men like that in sports. I can name athlete after athlete like that, where the father was never there. Thank God for that mother hanging in there And God raised that son up to be a superstar. God took him up. And when God takes you up, you're going up. Amen, somebody. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we thank God for being the great, great Father, the greatest Father of all, a Father willing to sacrifice in order to save us, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the Father with us, if you will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you know this great, great Father? Do you know this good, good Father? The hymn writer said, "This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds, their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let earth be glad." Amen, somebody. Do you know the Heavenly Father? Dear friend, do you know the great, great Father? Do you know the good, good Father? Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and therefore you do not know Father God, the great, great Father, Jesus said these words to you: "For God," that is the Father, "for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God on the third day. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. If you remember the Passover, for some of you, if you remember the movie called the Ten Commandments. You know you've seen it. They had, the Jewish people had to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorposts in the form, really, of a cross. What a picture of what Jesus Christ, the human Lamb of God, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who never sinned, because that lamb had to be pure. And if you recall your Sunday school lessons, when the death angel saw the blood, they were passed over. Nobody died in that house. They were saved. And so when God sees the blood of the Lamb on the cross for you and for me, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and get under the blood of the Lamb, God will pass over you. Amen, somebody. You will be saved. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 13 says that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, right where you are, and God will save you. God the Father will save your soul because of your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, you can get saved right where you are. You do not have to be in a church to be saved. You don't even have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to stand up in church and make an announcement to be saved. You don't have to shout and jump and speak in tongues to be saved. You don't have to give any money to be saved. None of that. You don't have to do a whole lot of work for other people to be saved. All of those things are good and dandy. But to get saved, all you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask Him to save your soul, and He will save you. I am a living witness. And if God can save me, somebody who hated preachers and who hated the church, somebody who thought that many men in the church were effeminate growing up, and that the women dominated the men, somebody who thought that people stayed in church too long, I despised it. My dad was a preacher. My mother was a preacher. I despised him especially. I got saved out of religion. I got saved out of the club as well. By putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have never been the same. It's been almost 40 years now. I cursed and swore to my friends I would never be a preacher like my dad as I carry his name. And that was a fact. I hated it. I hated it back then when they would try to say I was going to be a preacher like my dad. That made me so mad. I ended up telling them I was going to drive the bus to hell. And we were going to party down there. If God can save me, God can save you. And here's how I got saved. I'll be glad to lead you in this prayer as you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, thank you for being a good, good Father. I acknowledge that I have sinned against you. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I sin by choice and I sin by nature. I admit that I have broken your written Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. And I have stolen things before, just to name a few. And Lord, I have not always honored my father and my mother. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, was buried, and rose again on the third day to pay for my sin debt. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul as I believe in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life from this day forward. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, my tract, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails. And I assure you that Danielle Elizabeth Breedlove White, we'll get back in touch with you post haste and send the material to you. We have some free material that we want to send to you free of charge, and we mean that. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. We pray for many, many hundreds, and we'll be glad to pray for you. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And if you trusted Christ as Savior today, God is truly your Father. And I am your brother. And you're my brother or my sister. And we thank God for you. May God bless you real good. The Lord tarries his coming and we live. We'll be right here tomorrow preaching God's word. Let's all stand as we sing, This Is My Father's World.